That's right. Defending Super Bowl champions will go into week two this Sunday. They'll go to L.A. to take on the L.A. Chargers. Pregame at 2 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. Of course, the Chiefs kicking off the NFL season with a convincing win over the Houston Texans 34-20. And here to review that and look ahead to week two of the NFL season is one of the best to cover the Chiefs, and that is Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com and does stuff on the radio as well. Matt, how you doing? And I'm guessing you're feeling pretty good now that football is underway, right?
Yeah, it seems to be at least a little bit of a sense of normalcy, even though there was only 22% of the fans in Arrowhead on Thursday night. It seemed like a normal, regular crowd, and football is back, so we will take it.
Must have gotten some of the loudest fans you possibly could, because they didn't have to pipe in crowd noise on the TV broadcast, and it was a presence. And how important do you think that is for a football team? Because the Chiefs and I believe Jacksonville are the only two in week one that had any fans at all in the stands.
Yeah, I have to imagine it's got to be a real competitive advantage. And, you know, we might find out a little bit this week when the Chiefs go to Los Angeles Chargers, who won't have any fans in the stands, and it will be a different experience. You know, it's often said that, you know, players feed off of the crowd, and sometimes we just think that's a cliche, and maybe it's not true. But I think you kind of saw around the league that, you know, play seemed a little bit different in some stadiums where there weren't any fans. The atmosphere, I think, was certainly different. I think it would actually still be a lot more intriguing if the games that were on TV didn't have this fake piped-in noise.
Yes.
I think hearing the actual sounds of football would be a really intriguing experience to actually get to, you know, hear for once. So I don't like that part of it, but it certainly seems like, you know, that game on Thursday was, I felt like a little bit different than some of the other games around the league, and I think the fans were a big part of that.
It's funny you brought in the piped-in crowd noise on the broadcast. It doesn't match. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, it doesn't match at all. Like, when they should be booing or there should be booing, there's cheering, and then the home team does something good, or the opposing team does something good, and then there's cheers from the crowd. That would not happen. I'm with you. Let's hear the actual sounds. This is an opportunity for us to hear the sounds of the game. And, yeah, that's on delay, so if there's bad words, they can take care of it. I'm in agreement with you on that. Let me ask you this question, because I can't answer it, and I know defensive coordinators across the National Football League are trying to answer it, and I'm going to make you a defensive coordinator. How in the world do you slow down or stop this Chiefs offense when it is healthy, and right now, for the most part, it is, when you add in the fact that now they've got, looks like they've hit a home run, I know it's just one game, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield, I just don't know what you do, who you focus on, who you take away with this offense.
I don't know how you stop it either. You're right. I mean, you know, no team has really figured it out. The Texans took a little bit of the 49ers game plan, which worked pretty well, which is, you know, you just take away the deep ball. You try to guard against the Chiefs beating you downfield, force Patrick Mahomes to kind of stay within himself so that he stays underneath. That has been consistently at least a pretty good strategy. But, you know, if you're going to be like the Texans and you want to stick with the 49ers game plan, you've got to have that front pass rush too.
Mm-hmm.
And they just weren't able to get that pressure on like the 49ers were in the Super Bowl. But even then, I mean, the 49ers, it only worked for 3.5 quarters before it broke down. And that, I think, is just a testament to the fact that, one, you know, Andy Reid and Mahomes both are just so good at adapting their game. And I think with Clyde Edwards-Helaire now, the Chiefs can literally almost play any offensive style.
Mm-hmm.
If they need to play dink and dunk and just move the ball down slowly and in small chunks down the field, they can do that. If they need to play some foul power football, they can do that. If they still need to run up and down the field and score when they have to, they can do that too. So they can do a little bit of everything, but I will say that the one thing that Mahomes seems to have improved at the most throughout his career has just simply been able to read defenses and what they're giving him. And I think that's what, you know, you've seen really manifest itself almost in the last, you know, half of the last season and coming into this year, is just his ability to read defenses, you know, figure things out, you know, what he has learned from watching film that he can apply on the field, because that is really, that's the next thing that he, and the only thing really left that he can improve at. I mean, physically, there's not a whole lot he can add to his game, but he can add experience, and he can add an understanding of what teams are doing to him. And that's been, you know, one of his most impressive traits is his ability to adapt to game plans and eventually figure things out. Sometimes it doesn't take long at all. So like I said, sometimes it takes 3.5 quarters, but so far nobody's figured it out for four full quarters, so I'm certainly not going to be able to figure it out.
Me neither. I'm glad I don't have the job of trying to figure it out. Matt Derrick is our guest from Chiefs Digest. He contributes for Sports Radio 810 WHB there in Kansas City. He does a wonderful job covering the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. You mentioned that the Chiefs can beat you in more ways than one, and now maybe even more than they did last year. This was a very interesting statistic, and to me, this makes it a little bit easier to decide what you want to do. When there were 6 men in the box, so you're thinking pass or defend the pass, Mahomes and the weapons with Kelce and Watkins and Hill, and you know Robinson's a pretty good receiver too. You have so many guys to key on or try to key on or try to take somebody away, which means you're not going to have as many guys in the box. When there were 6 men in the box against Clyde Edwards-Helaire last Thursday night, he had 10 carries for 96 yards. That's almost 10 yards a carry. Now, he struggled running the ball, as you would most guys, when there's extra men in the box, 3.2 yards a carry. Well, guess what? More men in the box, now you take your shots. You got Kelce, you got Watkins, you got Robinson, you got Hill. And to me, that's kind of how you can approach it, come in line of scrimmage. 6 men in the box, we'll take what the defense gives us, and we'll take 9 yards a carry, right?
Well, exactly, and that's why it comes back to, you know, the offense that Mahomes has run going back to college and what Andy Reid has so incredibly adapted to the NFL game is, you know, the run-pass option. So much of what the Chiefs did early against the Texans was planned runs. I mean, they wanted to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire involved, and they wanted to feed him early just to get him into the flow of the game, kind of get used to the speed of the game at this level and just get his feet wet. And late in the game, you know, they wanted to ice the ball. They wanted to put the game away, so they went back to the run there. But in between, you know, they continued to run the ball because, yeah, the Texans were presenting these fronts that made it favorable, and the Chiefs run so many pass-run option plays where Mahomes gets the choice of giving the ball to Edwards-Helaire or throwing. And, yeah, I mean, if he comes up and sees a defensive front where there's 6 guys in the box and he's got, you know, the advantage in his favor, he's going to give the ball to his running back. And now the Chiefs have a running back who can take a short yardage play and turn it into a big one. I mean, that's the one thing that I think the people are going to be blown away with Edwards-Helaire is just simply some of the moves that he can make and what moves that he can make in open space to make guys miss. He just seems to have this incredible contact balance, doesn't go down with the first hit, can juke and make moves that just seem to defy logic. And that's something that, you know what, you know, Damian Williams has had a lot of success in this offense, but he's not anywhere near the dynamic runner that Edwards-Helaire is.
No, I agree with you. Matthew Derrick, Chiefs Digest, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Is this offensive line, I know it was just one game, this offensive line better than last year?
Right now, I mean, after one game, I would be tempted to say yes. I mean, Kelechi Osemele is a really interesting addition because he gives this offensive line at that left guard spot a nastiness and a brawler mentality that didn't really have before. I mean, maybe you could argue that Laurent Duvernay-Tardif was a little bit that. Andrew Wiley at right guard has got a really mean streak on the field. But Osemele is, you know, more of a brawler. I mean, he's that kind of pancake guy in the middle of the interior line. And typically the Chiefs favor a lot of athleticism and guys who can move on the offensive line. People who can get outside and block, get downfield and block to extend runs. But you saw a little bit of Osemele. He's just able to manhandle people and create holes on the offensive line. And I think that that's at the dimension this line has not had before. We'll see. I mean, he's 31, and, you know, he's coming off an injury last year. You know, there's always going to be the question of how much is in the tank and if, you know, he can still be that way in December and January. And this offensive line as a whole is getting a little bit older, but it's also the most experienced offensive line that the Chiefs have had in a number of years. And I think that showed on Thursday.
I agree with you. Frank Clark, you know, last year he was dealing with some injuries throughout the season. Once he became healthy, he was a different Frank Clark. And I thought we saw that in week 1 on Thursday Night Football there. You know, Jones was a sack and a half, and he played well. But Frank Clark was getting pressure. Maybe it didn't result in sacks, of course, but he was getting off the edge, causing problems. this defense, I said it last year, even when they were struggling, we have to wait this out. It's not how what you do in October. It's what you do in December and January. And the defense did turn the corner in the final six games and into the playoffs. This defense really should be better, should even be better this year. Second year in the system, you have most of these guys back. Frank Clark is healthy. Granted, you can get hurt tomorrow, and that changes everything. Juan Thornhill is back, which is amazing considering he tore his ACL in the final regular season game. I know that the defense right now a little bit shorthanded in the secondary, which we'll get to, but this defense, shouldn't it be better this year than it was last year?
It certainly looked better on Thursday than I anticipated this early in the season. There was a lot of questions about how much you can really, you know, take from the end of 2019 and roll it over into 2020 because it's a brand new year and there's some new faces. And especially right now, you know, when they're playing a lot of young guys at cornerback and there's some lack of experience there. But you saw on Thursday how you counter that. You've got a healthy Frank Clark and you've got a healthy Chris Jones, and the kind of havoc they can wreak on an offensive line, that absolutely helps out your secondary. And we saw some young guys like Legarius Sneed have really nice games on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And I think absolutely the credit for that, a lot of it goes up front. I mean, I believe the Chiefs had 24 pressures on Deshaun Watson on Thursday. That was almost twice as many as any other team in the league had this week.
Wow.
That was just, you know, an amazing amount of pressure they were putting on Watson. And all of that was really coming from the guys up front. And that's what allowed the secondary to have a pretty good game. It's going to be interesting to see how teams adjust to that. If the Chiefs continue to bring as much pressure and use as much blitzing as they did, or they're going to adjust that week to week, I certainly think that that's probably going to be the game plan. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo is an aggressive guy as a coordinator, but he's also adapts his game plan. So I don't think you're going to see the same type of aggressiveness week in and week out. But you've got two guys, and Clark and Jones, when they're healthy, they can create pressure without a blitz. And you absolutely saw that. I think it'd be really hard-pressed to be better than the defense was during the last 8 to 10 games of last season. But, you know, could they be a top-5 defense this year? I think it's arguably in the cards for them if everybody stays healthy.
That's crazy. I mean, if they're a top-5 defense, I mean, you and I were talking about this going into last year. If the defense would just be probably top 20, top 15, I mean, that would be an improvement. And then that they were top 10 last part of the season into the playoffs. I mean, that's crazy to think that what a defensive coordinator, and granted, they got some different personnel, but, you know, it wasn't rocket science. And we were talking about it. I'm sure many other sports talk people were talking about this. When the Chiefs lost to the Patriots, when they lost that coin flip and never got the ball, but let's go back a year before that. Let's go back to the Titans loss when Alex Smith and the Chiefs offense didn't score in the second half. It was very clear there was two things that needed to happen. One, give the keys to Mahomes, see what you got, because Alex Smith took you as far as he could. And two, it was you need to get rid of Bob Sutton, bring somebody else in. It's not predictable on defense. The Chiefs waited 1 year too long on the defensive side of the ball and still almost made the Super Bowl. Made the right decision with Mahomes. Clearly, everybody knows that by now. And then they got Steve Spagnuolo, and look what he did last year. So the Chiefs did eventually figure that out, and now they got all the pieces in place to where the word keeps popping up. And I know the Chiefs talk about it. That's their theme, their motto, run it back. There's talk about a dynasty. And listen, to me, you can talk dynasty all you want. Until you win two, or until you win back-to-back, or you win 2 in 3 years, I think it's premature to talk dynasty. But I do like hearing it from this standpoint. It means this team has bigger things and bigger goals. They're not satisfied with just one.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the reason why people will talk dynasty with this team is because they got the quarterback right. I mean,
sure.
Get the quarterback right makes everything else a whole lot easier. But, yeah, I mean, this is a league in which things can change on a dime. And, you know, we saw that to a degree with the Chiefs as it is. What they've been able to do with this defense and rebuilding it in almost a single season, flipping it from what they had in 2018 when every game was a track meet, to by the end of the 2019 season that they had one of the better defenses in the league. It can also change the other way. I mean, you could be absolutely looking at a 2021 or a 2022 season when the Chiefs defense isn't what it is right now. I mean, it can change that quickly. Guys get old, guys get hurt, people leave via free agency, draft picks don't hit. So many things can happen and change things, which is why, you know, there's certainly a mentality with this team, which is there's a window. let's take advantage of it. Let's be aggressive. And that's what you've seen with this organization, is that and why there are so many people back from the 2019 team. They know this is a window, and they know that if they want to capitalize on it and win as much as they can in this window, they can't just stand by. I mean, they've got to be aggressive.
Give us an injury update, where the Chiefs stand. I know there's concern, of course, in the secondary with Ward with a broken hand. Breland's out due to suspension. I also know there's concern in regards to a little bit of lack of depth on the defensive line. Pinnell's suspension. They've had other guys banged up prior to the first game of the year.
Yeah, you know, and when we had Andy Reid kind of on Monday confirm the report that Traverse Ward had a procedure done on that fractured hand. As Reid put it, he had some work done. That's as close as Andy Reid will get to sometimes confirming that a player had a surgical procedure. They're going to give him a shot this week to see, because with that kind of injury, a player can play with a cast on that hand. It oftentimes just simply comes down to pain management and how much pain is the injury causing and can the player tolerate it. So it certainly is the indication that they're going to test it this week, see what Ward can kind of handle. If he can play, we might see him. If not, might shut down. It's just that kind of a question mark. You know, this is the kind of injury that you can sometimes play through, sometimes can't. With Colin Saunders, you know, we had a report from NFL Network this morning that he's maybe expecting to miss about a month with that dislocated elbow. That's probably one of the better case scenarios. You know, sometimes with a dislocated elbow, that can be a 6-week injury. It doesn't appear that this one is as severe as it could have been. But with Mike Pinnell suspended, you know, Derek Nnadi's coming back from ankle surgery, that's a concern. You know, the Chiefs may need to be bringing up reinforcements this week from the practice squad. Don't be surprised if Braxton Hoyt is actually active this week because they need some numbers. They're at the end of the game last week. They had undrafted rookie Tershawn Wharton playing on the interior of the defensive line because they just didn't have the numbers. Right. Alex Okafor and Austin Ryder are both nursing injuries. Doesn't appear at this point that either one of them are expecting to miss any significant time, but those are at least two to watch this week.
All right, the Chiefs of the Chargers in L.A. at that brand-new stadium with no fans, which is, I think, just kind of sad. Obviously, you have this multi-billion-dollar stadium, and then there's nobody in it, but it is what it is this year with COVID and everything. This Sunday, pregame at 2 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. The Chargers winning in a low-scoring affair over the Bengals 16-13. You see the Chiefs. I mean, the Chargers have a really good defense. They have a front that could put pressure on Mahomes. What are your thoughts on the matchup, and will the Chiefs have any problems this weekend?
Yeah, it's a different Chargers team without Phillip Rivers and with Tyrod Taylor. They're going to run the football. I mean, that's what they did in Week 1, and you certainly think they're going to build this offense around Austin Eckler. They're going to get him the ball in a lot of different ways. Questions really, I think, going to be how productive he can be in the passing game and try and create opportunities for Tyrod Taylor down the field. I think we saw a little bit of weakness, especially with the injuries for the Chiefs up the middle, that teams may be able to run on Kansas City. We'll see if that continues in the Week 2. But if the Chargers are able to run the football effectively and keep per possessions low, try and keep Mahomes off the field, they might be able to keep this game within scoring range. I still think the Chiefs are a clearly better team. The biggest thing I think they've got to guard against is simply that this is a trap game.
Yes.
And looking forward to next week against the Ravens. You're not going to be playing in front of any fans, so there's certainly a potential for a letdown. I don't think Andy Reid's going to let that happen in the first 4 weeks of the season, but you got to guard against it. I think the Chiefs are going to win. Right now, I'm looking at something like in the margin of maybe 24-16.
Oh, lower scoring, 24. That would be a win for any team playing the Chiefs. You hold them to 24, it means you at least got a chance. All right, time for off-the-wall question. Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest, our guest today. Your doppelganger is, who looks just like you? Have you ever met a spitting image of yourself anywhere online, or anybody give you a picture and say, hey man, I could have swore you were at the grocery store, and you're like, no dude, I was somewhere else.
I actually have had Andy Reid tell me that I look exactly like Chris Shea, who is one of the Chiefs cap people, is in charge of contracts.
Really?
We're brothers from another mother, so I think it's just because we're both kind of tubby guys and wear glasses and have receding foreheads. But Andy says we could be brothers.
I like it. I like it. All right. You've got a book, The Kansas City Chiefs Unforgettable 2019 Championship Season, the foreword by Kevin Harlan, who, of course, called the Super Bowl nationally on the radio. Tell us a little bit about the book and how people can get hold of it.
Yeah, the book will take you through the entire 2019 season from the beginning to the end with player and coach profiles in there. Hopefully a great way to be able to relive the 2019 season, and you can buy it wherever books are sold.
All right, where can people read your work and what you're doing and working on at Chiefs Digest right now, Matt?
Yeah, you can go to chiefsdigest.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Matt Derrick, and you can also find Chiefs Digest on Facebook.
Matt, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you later on during the season. Enjoy covering the Chiefs here in Week 2, and we'll talk to you again down the road, my man.
Sounds great.
That's
Take
Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, our guest covering Chiefs football, one of the best in covering the Chiefs, and we love to have him on the show here on the Sports Ticket.